Thank you for this opportunity. It is a lot lighter in this room than most of the places where I do go. It's kind of what a switch. First of all, I just want to thank you for the part, strategic part, that PBC has played in Home of New Beginnings. We initially started the Christmas party because PBC was willing to have their Christmas party here. Wouldn't have happened otherwise. It's an expensive event that doesn't fit in our budget, in our regular budget. So we are so grateful for that. You have no idea what it's like. I wish you could all be there to see 200 prostituted women and sitting in one room playing first Limbo and then playing musical chairs, because even though they're often in their 20s, emotionally they're closer to 8 or 9. And musical chairs fits really well, and they love it. And that actually is strength not under control, by the way. They have such a good time. And then go on to hear about Jesus for the first time. And even though we walk from bar to bar and spend a lot of time in the bars, we could not reach the magnitude that happens at that Christmas party. So we are grateful, so grateful. Let me tell you just a little bit about the girls, and then I'll talk a little bit about the customers, and then about beginnings and where we are right now. Most of our girls, some of you know a lot, and some of you might not know as much. Is that possible?
Yes.
Okay. 7 years ago, I can't believe it's been, Chrissy, 10 years. Where did that time go? Can't believe it's been, but 7 years ago, after I retired from education, my husband and I, can you believe that, Kathy? my husband and I moved to Bangkok, Thailand, I having no idea what I was going to do there. But what was clear within a few weeks after I finally found my way to the grocery store, the images at every block we walked, a Western man with hanging on to a Thai woman was just so apparent. And I was naive enough to think they were probably married at first, until my husband began to inform me about what was really going on. And then I was filled with shame, frankly, that my countrymen were using and abusing Thai women in such a horrific way. And God began to work in my heart about that, and ultimately, circuitous route, but a Home of New Beginnings was born. Most of the girls come from northeastern Thailand, which is the rural poor. And their parents are rice farmers, but most of their parents don't own the land that they're farming. So when they lose a crop, they have no collateral to begin the next year's crop. And they often, loan sharks are prevalent, you know, 20% interest a month. Just ridiculous pieces. And there's a significant gender inequality in Thailand. And therefore, the daughters are sacrificed, especially the oldest daughter first. And they're often sent to Bangkok. There are really two Thailands, Bangkok and the rest of Thailand. Bangkok being a 16 million people in an international huge city, and then the rest of Thailand being much, much different and much less educated and much, much more poverty. So they come to Bangkok to work actually in factories. The route is often through a factory, not always. Some of them come directly from their little farming community of 200 to a city of 16 million and walk right into a bar for the first time, not really knowing what they have to do once they get there. But it's startling to me. I'm a farm girl, and I coming to a city of 50,000 was really hard for me, and then coming to this area was just a huge step. I can't imagine. Some of our girls are 13 and 14 years old. When they're coming from their rural area, they get on a bus by themselves, and first time they've seen anything, and then they end up working in the bars. So there's a strength there in what appears to be weakness, in a humility, in a presence that is unassuming and sacrificial. That's really quite unbelievable to me. It's startling that they would. I've learned so much. I don't think in the context of America, in the context of California, I would have ever been accused of being self-centered or maybe greedy is the word, I don't know. But I don't know anything about self-sacrifice. I know nothing compared to what these girls know. They give up their community. They give up their family. They give up their children. They come to Bangkok. They sell the only thing they own, which is their body. They give up their modesty, because Thais are very modest culture. Sometimes I'll go into a bar. I know a girl is new because she's trying to hide behind the pole. She's dancing like this. It just kills me. They give up everything. I've never done that. These girls teach me a lot. A wise man, it was actually my husband, so I can say he was wise, said to me, God is an efficient God who will not waste any experience on only half of the equation. So when I go to Thailand, I'm not going there as, I had no idea what God had in store for me in that context. But what I have learned from this side of the equation is unbelievable. And I am humbled by what I see in these girls. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. So the girls come, sometimes through a factory. They realize the factory isn't giving them much more money than they could get back in their village. Somebody says, you're cute. I've got a place, another place you could work. You don't have to get undressed. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You can just work as a waitress. Well, the waitresses are also, they also are for sale. So there isn't a context in Nana Plaza or Soy Cowboy where you can escape this sexual, the selling of your body. So they come and they succumb to the atmosphere out of desperation, out of gender inequality. Their brothers are probably not working. They could be, couldn't be. But in this Buddhist country, in this particular brand of Buddhism, there's as many Buddhist brands as there are denominations in Christianity. It's not clean and simple any more than Christianity is in terms of theology. But in this particular brand, boys can become little monk novices, monkites. I'm not sure what the word is, frankly. But they can do that for 6 months or 6 weeks or 2 months. When they're 12, 14, whatever, they have their head shaved, they wrap themselves in a little orange robe and bring tremendous honor to their family. And they're kind of done for a long time, having made their merit, assuring that they've acquired enough credit to take care of their sin and make it to a better place in their next life. the girls don't have that option. There are Buddhist nuns, and there's really quite a few of them, but they're not honored and they're not respected, except for half a dozen of them. And from a man's perspective, if you are a Buddhist nun, it's probably because you were disagreeable or ugly. Couldn't find a man to take care of you. So that was the path you chose. So there aren't a lot of options for a girl, for a young woman to make merit in the Buddhist community to assure that her next life will be better than this one. And another place where Buddhism affects their life is, let me tell you a story. Maybe I can do it that way. One of our girls was at the age of 6 or 7, was actually almost abducted. She was walking on the sidewalk in her little town, and a van came by and pulled her off the sidewalk and pulled her into the van. And as she was being pulled in there, she could see another 15 or 20 kids sitting in the van with bags over their heads. They had already been abducted. And it was a time when the Thai mafia was abducting children and severing limbs so that they would become better beggars. If you've seen Slumdog Millionaire, it's that wasn't a made-up story. Those things happen. Or they put little worms in their eyes so that they would become blind, so that they would be a more appealing beggar. So this young gal was pulled into the van, and by God's grace, and it was God's grace, and we've talked about it with her a lot, there was two things happened, two miracles. There was a policeman there, and he cared. This one being a greater miracle, frankly, than the first. And he blew his whistle, and they dropped her. And then another piece of God's grace is that he actually radioed ahead, and they did get that van full of children and were able to release them. So she didn't even have survivor's guilt, another piece of that story. Her dad died when she was in fourth grade. Therefore, she has four sisters. There's five girls in the family, and she's the middle one. She had to stop school and work to support the family, because children of all ages work. Her dream was to graduate university. She wanted to be a nurse. That didn't seem like at grade 4 was ever going to happen. Her dad was brutally abusive to her mother, and she's never talked about it, but I believe she was also abusive to this young lady. And he died when she was 8, 9, soon after this incident on the street. And she stopped school, she began to work, and it was, as is typical in the rural areas, she married when she was 15. And not unusual, she married a man who was unfaithful and abusive and had two children. Her life is spinning out of control. He's philandering all over the country because he's in the military. She's basically taking care of the kids, raising them, and still wants to go to school. So that little stinker, talk about strength under control, under her own control at that point. But she actually finished grade 12 in a GED-type program by herself, while she was building three different houses, working two different jobs, raising two kids, and taking care of two sick sisters as well. So, strength. But life's been further out of control because her husband said, I don't want to be with you anymore. He totally left her, and she was ready for that to happen. Anyway, she left her two children with him because he had some money and she had nothing. She moved to another village where her other sister was, was working there, broke her arm, went to the hospital, got her arm set. Her sister said, I'll send my neighbor to get you, bring you back, and which she did. And he happened to have a pickup, and they don't have many vehicles, so that represented some wealth, actually a lot of wealth to the rural people. He picked her up, drove her into the woods, beat her senseless, and raped her, and left her. He left for a few minutes, decided he wasn't finished, came back, raped her again, and this time threw her into the van or into the pickup and took her home. There's no recourse for this because of the gender inequality. She would actually have been laughed out of town, would not have been able to work anymore because if she had accused him of that, because he has both money and power in the community. So that was that. So the grandmother cleaned her up and said, we won't ever see that man again. He's a terrible man. And the next day he returned and moved in with her, brought his suitcase, moved in for 3 months, and held her at knife point and raped her repeatedly. After those 3 months, he took her to another place and kept her captive for another 6 months and raped her repeatedly. She would have been about, when we met her, she was 27. Came to us, by the way, because of the Christmas party. We had met her before, but so that was, by then she was probably 24-ish, my guess. Then what happened? Let me see. She has many, many chapters to her story, and frankly, that's three of them or four, whatever I've told you. There's probably another five, and all of them are horrible chapters. But God was with her every step of that way. She didn't know it. She didn't know who he was. But he protected her. The policeman was there. He blew the whistle. They dropped her. The man who held her captive finally let her go. He just walked out one day and didn't ever come back. He was still in town, but he was done with her, and she walked home. He had called the mother and earlier and said, I call your daughter, because if she doesn't do what I say, I'll kill you, and if that doesn't help, then I'll kill her son. So she was compliant the whole time. But then he left, and she walked out one day and walked out and said, I've been a good girl all my life. All of this has happened. I'm going to go to Bangkok and be a bad girl, which is where we found her. And God said, sure, go to Bangkok. I've got plans for you. She came to Bangkok, began prostituting, and we found her. She's such a plucky little thing, as you can imagine. Within a few weeks, my Thai partner and I were interviewing another gal to come, and we talk about Jesus and say to anyone who's thinking, the spiritual path we follow here is a path to Jesus, and we know that you probably follow Buddha's teaching, and Buddha and Jesus said a lot of the same things, and they did. So we quote a few of those. Not everything was the same though, but that's okay. And we would like to. We want you to know that up front. And the way he wrote a guidebook, and that's the book we follow. Those are the instructions. Great instructions for life, and that's the book that we use to teach you how to live. And so you need to know that up front. She's sitting playing a game with one of the other girls, and she says, oh, don't worry about this Jesus man. He's amazing. He'll love you no matter what. I decided to follow him last week, And Ann and I turned over, you did? When did that happen? So many times, despite, in spite of me, despite what we do, they follow Jesus. He's actually, if I can say this without offending anyone, Jesus is a really easy sell to these girls. He loves them unconditionally. He doesn't care what they've done. He takes away their shame. He'll be with them wherever and whenever they wherever they go. He doesn't want anything in return except their life. Just says, follow me. Okay. This young lady is, the reason I chose this story. Oh, my time's up. I can't tell you the good news. Yes, I will. We do. She is actually our first university graduate. She will graduate in June, and she has completed 4 years in marketing and business. She's actually going to leave for a little while and finish raising her son. You can pray for that, because that's very problematic right now. But I said to her just the week before we left, I knew she was leaving before I left, I knew she was moving out while I was here. So I did a little exit interview with her, and I said, we helped you dream again, because all the girls have given that up at about age 5. We helped you dream again, and your dream was to finish university. That dream is done. What next? And she said, I want to be a preacher. And I said, you do? Kind of like, you do? And she said, if it weren't for my son right now, I want to go to Bible school. There's no church in my village, and they need to know about Jesus. So it's a beautiful story of God's redemption, and I got to watch it. It was wonderful. And he taught me about meekness, and he taught me about dependence and about self-sacrifice. Jit has known, that's her name, has known from the beginning that she was dependent. We in America don't know that, especially if we have a job. When I come back, I see it more and more. I'm sure that's true with Chrissy. You just see things a little differently when you've been away for 7 years. We know our spiritual gifts. We know the way we can serve, and we say, we don't really say this to God, but we sort of do. God, you've gifted me, you've equipped me, and that's true. I got this handled. I know you're busy. You take care of this over here. You know, I'll just, you know, I got it. I got it. You know, you've equipped me, you've gifted me. And we don't realize, I don't think we realize as much in America how dependent we are, and that verse, without me, you can do nothing, means you can do nothing. It really means you can do nothing. So whatever I went to Thailand with, this idea of service, which there was nothing wrong with that idea, and I knew how God had gifted me and equipped me, it wasn't until I watched the poor, until I watched these girls, that I began to understand, oh, nothing means nothing, means nothing. And it's been a great ride. It's been wonderful to see how God has transformed many of our girls. And more intimately, it's been exciting to see how he's transformed me. Let me tell you just one more thing, and my time is up, I know. At Beginnings, we currently have 17 girls. Our youngest is 11, and our oldest is 32. We have six in university. High society sees these girls as dirty and ignorant, greedy, uneducated, ignorant especially. And one of our dirty, greedy, ignorant, uneducated, stupid girls is a junior in chemical engineering and getting a 3.7, which given her provincial education, which is not as good as a city education, who knew? Give a girl a little opportunity to dream. It's just pretty amazing what she can do. So six in university, we have three in high school, one in junior high, our 11-year-old, we're tutoring. She's not been to school yet, so we're getting her to a place where she can integrate into a regular school a little bit in another year or two. Uh-huh. No, as in many developing countries, this isn't true of 100%, but we haven't found those few. The corruption, the powerful are also the ones with money. Even the flooding that's happening in Thailand right now, you won't hear about this on the news, but you'll hear about the flooding maybe, but you won't hear the part about the fact that the wealthy are hiring the poor to fill the sandbags so that the water will be diverted into the poor area and not into the wealthy area. That sort of thing. No, there's no recourse.
What are the girls doing about providing money to their families, like once they leave the bars?
Yeah, a good question. Mm-hmm. Yeah. we actually give them an allowance. We give them ultimately $30 a week. Most of that money goes back to their family. We provide everything but their toothpaste and toothbrush. We give them a little bit of an allowance for clothes when they first come because many of them don't have appropriate clothes. But beyond that initial purchase, we don't buy any clothes for them. That's up to them. But pretty at least 50% of the allowance we give them goes back to their families. Good question. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the girls when they come, all the girls learn to sew. All the girls learn to make clay flowers. All of them learn to make journals. All of them have computer time, and all of them learn to bake. Those five things right now. And it doesn't matter whether they're university material or not. They all do that, in part because it gives us an opportunity to see their skill level, what they're capable of, a little bit, and it also gives them time to decompress. When they first come to us, they're looking over their shoulder most of the time. Takes them a while to trust. A long while to trust. Uh-huh. Staff question's easier, so I'll start there. I have two full-time Thai staff, and one of them is the house mom, but she is also in charge of marketing our product and vocational training. And then the other one does a lot of translating for me and does communication with Thais especially, and is the spiritual life director for all the girls. That's what we have right now. And then two of our girls, and the one whose story I told you was one of them, we give a little bit of an extra allowance too, because they wanted to go back to the bars and start talking to the girls in the bars to get them out. So we give them a bit of a salary to do outreach as well. And the first question was, education and money. All education. They would say that education is free there, but they need uniforms, they need transportation, they need activity cards. All of their activities cost money, and if they don't participate in the activities, they're shunned. At least that's been our experience. Because they're poor, they tend to be shunned anyway. So we try to beef it up as much as we can. So even the high school and the junior high girls that we have, even their education is costing us about anywhere from $100 to $150 a month.
So the ministry pays for
their yes, education. Yeah, yeah. And then we have three full-time in Bible school. One whose Buddhist parents have already, they actually own a little property. She wasn't as poor as some of the others. They have poured a cement pad, underneath the stilts in their little village house, so that she can teach a Bible study to the community when she comes back. I mean, only God can do things like that. Sometimes I look at God and I say, "You are so funny to me." How did you get so creative? Oh gosh, I've learned so much. No, for the most part, we have a few bars that we can't get into. We have one bar I'm especially sad about because there are 250 girls in that bar. It's a big one, and the bar owner is German, and he's forgive me, God, the most obnoxious man I've ever spoken to. So I know the girls are mistreated. He won't even let them go to the Christmas party. But except for a few of those, no, we don't get any opposition. And we actually have found favor with some of the mamasans who, we've got three or four bars where we go in to do outreach, and we'll say, the girls wear numbers. It's so pathetic. They wear buttons with numbers on them. So the men order them like entrees off a cheap menu, you know. I want number 36. But we'll say, we want to talk to 32, whatever it is. And the mama's son will say, no, you don't. She's not interested. But I've got a new girl, and she really needs to be with you. So she'll pull number 28 over. Yeah. We have about four bars that are helping us right now. Yeah. I wish. That's my serious prayer. No one is working with the Johns. That's not entirely true. YWAM is doing a little bit, but it's only part of this ministry to men, and it's a very small slice of it. Nobody. It's much harder because the men are only there typically for their vacation. You know, they're just there for a couple of weeks. And the businessmen are also come to the bars. It, just in case you have this kind of stereotypical idea that they're all bikers, no. they look like the guy you sit next to in church, I'm afraid, most of them. Not that you do sit next to any of them, but I'll never forget one night when I was at the bar, and you go upstairs because there are short-time rooms upstairs. You don't have to pay as much as if you take the girl out for the whole night. And I looked up. I didn't see his face. I looked up as he was walking. He had a satchel with the U.S. Embassy emblem on it. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh. Okay. So anyway.
Do you see many American men?
Oh, a lot of American men, yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of American men, yeah. American men buy more Thai flesh than any other one country. Yeah. Now, the continent of Europe is you combine all those countries, there's more than the American. We have a lot of Europe. Thailand is Europe's Hawaii. So there are a lot of Europeans there, but as a country, U.S. wins.
What is the job opportunity for these women who do graduate? Do they get the same opportunity as men? Or
as men? No, never.
Oh, they do. They are able to be employed and
yeah.
get out of this whole thing?
Right, right.
And then help others.
The education idea was birthed by God right here in my heart, because many of these girls are generationally prostituted. So their mother was a prostitute, their grandmother was a prostitute, because they've been poor for generations. So we wanted to not just give them. And there's nothing wrong with micro enterprise. I'm not knocking that at all. But we want to make sure that we're cutting this issue off at the knees, and that we stop the generational. They need to be able to earn enough so that their daughters can be educated as well. That was our goal. So, I'm sorry, Judy. There's still a couple more questions or not? Okay. Yeah, it's a great question. I have a dream of having a male staff member at some point, but the closest I come to
sorry.
I did. Oh my. Woo. Okay. I'll put my heart on the other side. My dream is that the closest I come to it now is my husband, who they call Grandpa. And there is a limited amount that a man can do. I think I want a presence there, but just a very short story. One of our girls, my husband's huggy and affectionate, and this is not unusual for many of them, but for this girl it was especially dramatic. He met her and reached his arm around her, and she didn't smile for the first 3 months that she was with us. Dramatically abused. So, do you understand what I'm saying? We just have to be careful, that's all. And he's usually careful, but that day was, he goofed. Uh-huh. Oh, not the Chinese Thai. Chinese Thai, for the most part, are the wealthy. Yeah. If you're Chinese Thai, it doesn't mean that you're wealthy, but most of the wealthy are Thai Chinese. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're all from Isan. If you know Thailand, the northeastern part of Thailand, probably at least 95% of the girls are from there. It's less among the other women because they're beginning to find their voice. But Thailand is a very hierarchical country, so these women are not even on the ladder. They're the lowest of the low. But a couple of reasons. One of the Buddhist traditions is that in order to reach enlightenment, you have to become male at one of those stages. So obviously, if you are male, which you're beautifully not, if you're male, then you are closer to enlightenment than I am. Okay. The other piece I didn't mention, even in the story I told you, they don't tell their story much. It takes us a long time to hear their story. Part of the reason for that is that Buddha said, don't let your emotions derail you. And that's been interpreted as don't feel. So they stuff all of those feelings. That's part of it. The other part of it is that there's an assumption that what you suffer is a result of your past life. Therefore, if you just endure, then your next life will be better. So what these girls are assuming is that when they were gang raped last night by 5 guys, they just have to endure. Because if I endure quietly, then next life it'll be different. The youngest we've had is 11. Is that what you mean? Of the ones we see in the bars, we don't see them. Actually, we don't even see them that young very often. I mean, that's a rare occasion that are 11, but it's not unusual to see a 14-year-old at all. And anything under 18 is, by the UN definition, is a child. But pedophilia, having said all of that, pedophilia is rampant in Thailand. And even when we first moved there, it was not unusual to see maybe one a day, a Western man with a little Thai girl dressed to the nines with her cute little Mary Janes, which Thais don't ever buy for their children. So, no, I don't know. It's gone underground since then. We don't see that anymore, but not because it doesn't exist.